Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening everyone. Hope you're all doing fantastic and having a great day. This is Twinkle. I'm here with an exciting new episode from this nonsense podcast channel. I think I should name as Non-Stop Nonsense Podcast Channel. So every episode I call here is an exciting episode. This episode is from my heart. I don't know whether it will be exciting or mokka. Mokka in Tamil means not very interesting or boring. So I don't know whether it will be boring or exciting. But one thing I know is I wanted to do this podcast for about many years. In fact, it was in my wish list and bucket list to do it. I was not doing it. But today I thought, let me do it today. I was just ticking off all my New Year resolutions and doing it one by one after month after month. This was on my top of my list. So here it is. So this episode is going to be the miracles that I experienced in my life as a devotee to Shirdi Sai Baba, my eternal lovely guru. It comes with a disclaimer. I'm never going to speak about, I'm never going to preach about anything. You become a Baba devotee. I'm not a preachy type, so I don't preach. I live in a way so that people get that Baba vibes in me and they will become like me, taking as an inspiration. So that's how I live. I don't preach things. I'm not a preacher also. It is only to share my real life experiences, the miracles that I have faced, which transform me, a normal me, into a Baba devotee. It's not about what he preached or how he lived. It's about in my life, what I saw, what I felt. In which times he gave the warmth and support and all those kind of things. It's about me, basically. In my life, how my guru made me as me. To start with, I would give an introduction of how I see religion, how I see God as a concept. Who is Sai Baba? Then I'll start the real life experiences that I've been through. firstly, to me, listen it very, very carefully. Religion. Okay. I am never a religious person. If you think that this is about a religion podcast, I think this is not the place you should be in. This is never a religion podcast. I am not at all a religious person. For me, according to me, love is the only religion. I believe love is the only religion that we all should follow as well. Basically, I think forefathers and ancestors would have bought this religion concept to instill fear in people or to discipline people in a common bond or a thread to control the community, to control the humanity, to keep them up in discipline. So they created the supernatural power as a source to keep up that fear, and that is what they named as God. And sometimes we all go through highs and lows. And I think during this highs and lows, to keep up in our own sanity, I think this support system is required, you know, to all of us. So maybe God concept came as a support system. We all have that fear, no, I'm alone, what will happen? And maybe to keep up from the security issue that we have, insecurity issues that we have God is with us, that kind of illusion. So basically, I think God and religion concept would have come in one of these towers that I mentioned. See, I call towers here. I think the corporate manager in me is bringing tower concept here also in the podcast, so forget that. So basically, the categories I see, that's how the God concept may have come into existence. I don't know. I believed, I was one since childhood. I'm kind of, I go to temples, I have this connection with God and all that, but off late, you know, life happens, life throws bricks and humbles us, right? That is a time I started hating the God concept and I started hating all the gods. I became an atheist at that point of time. To me, I do believe there is a superpower. There are many untold questions around us with no answers left. Why are we born? Where are we going? Why are we aging? Why are we dying? What are we doing after death? Why do dreams come? There are so many unanswered questions even science cannot answer completely. So I do believe there is a superpower, but I somehow think that if every blessing, every good things to us happens through God, where do bad experiences come from? Who gives bad things to us? So it's basically, I feel this way. God is just a onlooker. He's just a by watcher who gives you support and strength when you go through things. So you go through things because of your own karmas, good karmas and bad karmas. So you may ask me, Twinkle, I'm very good. I'm a very good person. I help everyone. I do all these things, but bad things happen to me. Of course, bad things happens to all of us. There are stressors and every one of us, even a baby has stress, even a monk has stress. So all of us have to go through stress and a lot of wounds in this lifetime and journey because of our karmas. You may ask, then and there karma should finish it off. Why we have to carry past karmas and torture us in this birth? So I think that is the reason we are even born, to get away with all the karmas, to heal the wounds and heal us and become a pure soul and one with superpower or nature or God, whatever. So basically, God is God concept or God or universe is the onlooker and by watcher of our own deeds, say good deeds or bad deeds, good karmas or bad karmas. Bad karmas will come back to us, good karmas will definitely come back to us in two folds. So always try to be good, always try to be nice, because we are only adding good karma in our account. Say only if you put money, your bank account will grow, right? Likewise, we should grow our good karma account, and bad karma account should go lesser and lesser. But it's actually vice versa, it's going other way around, that people all do lot of bad karmas and go in front of temple and seek forgiveness. So they think temples or churches or mosques, anything it can be, so thinking that God will forgive us, but God might forgive and give us strength to come over, but whatever the karmas that we are doing, it is never going away from us until and otherwise we heal it ourselves. So that's a different concept. Anyways, forget it. So this is the concept, this is the perception I have towards religion, God, and that's it. So now I'll move on to who is Shirdi Sai Baba. Shirdi Sai Baba is my guru. He was born, he was known to be in Shirdi. Okay, so Shirdi is in Ahmednagar, Kopargon district, close to Nasik and Pune. I think 3-4.5 hours from Pune by car, in Maharashtra state in India. Basically, Shirdi, I told about Shirdi, Sai Baba. Sai means mother, I think in Urdu or something, mother. So Sai Baba is the name he kept it for himself. And my guru calls, he doesn't call himself anything, he calls, he's a messenger of God. Like we have all heard, even Jesus is a messenger of God. Likewise, he's a Sufi messenger. To explain about Sufi is a very interesting concept. You can Google and check. Sufis believe that God is in little things. God is in the form of art. God is in the form of music. God is in the form of dance. They worship God in every forms. You see some Sufi dances, like they go in circles and motions. That is the meditation. That is a form of prayers that they do, Sufis. And Sufis basically promote love, harmony, compassion, and that category. And Sufis believe anybody can practice Sufi standing in their own religion. I think I've already covered this because I've done this podcast 3-4 times earlier and I had to cancel it for various reasons. So I'm even recording this podcast with seeking the blessings of my guru. Whatever I'm going to speak from my mouth is what Baba is directing me to do. I hope the podcast comes well. I pray and hope. Basically, I'm not at all a religious person. Never a religious person. My religion is only love. I promote only love, compassion. I don't like people doing hatred things in the name of God. I think it is a diluted version of the belief. Every religion in the earth came into existence to help people, to promote humanity, to be hand in hand with each other, showing love and compassion. But people have taken religion out of the context and creating hatred in the name of religion. So listen it carefully. I'm never a religious person. Love is the only religion that I practice. So coming to Shirdi Sai Baba. So Sai Baba sounds like, nobody has a record of where he came from, but it is believed that he was born to a Hindu parents in Putri, and he was christened by a Sufi saint, his guru, in a forest. And he was living with his guru in a forest for a few years, and during his teens he came to Shirdi, and he went back to forest for a while, and he came back re-entered back again to Shirdi and lived in Shirdi throughout his lifetime in the late 1890-ish till 1920. Until his last breath, he was in Shirdi, and there where we have Samadhi. Right now we call it as Shirdi Sai Temple. So this is about my guru. And since I already mentioned he is a Sufi messenger, Sufi saint, so the reason why Sufi saint or any guru comes into our life. So basically, Jesus is also a messenger of God. That's how I think Bible says it. Basically, there are a lot of messengers. I think light workers. They bring light to the world. So it is all a chaotic world, right? People are all evil everywhere. People are all evil everywhere. So to bring light to this chaotic mind, there are many light workers that superpower or God or whatever universe sends to every part of the world. There may be in a part of religion, or they may have goodness in them. So you see light workers across the world who shares love and light. And if you notice my podcast, I always say love and light because I follow my guru, and my place should have love and light. That's how I see it, and that's how my guru preaches. So basically, what these light workers or what these saints do, they come into existence. They come into existence into earth to promote harmony, to be more loving, caring, compassionate, helping, forgiving, to exhibit all goodness in us, to kindle the goodness in us, to trigger the goodness in us. No, you are not a bad person. You are a good person. Be a good person. So a guru comes into our life only when it is a need, only when it is necessary. So when he comes into a life, that is an interesting thing. So there is a belief that we all have taken many previous births, and we'll continue to take births until we learn our lessons, until we are done with our bad karmas, until we dilute our bad karma. So how do we dilute our bad karmas? By doing a lot of good karmas. Even when somebody hurts, we should not hurt back, and all those nice things. I don't know, everybody can follow it, but at least we should try to. So what happens is that when we take births after births after births after births, and then we become a pure person at a point of time. Towards the end of that birth, I mean, this is, say for example, this is my last birth in this universe. So this birth will be even more painful than my previous births, because this birth I'm going to do away with my karma. That is, that's done. I'm done with this world. I'll be floating in air or surrendering it at Guru's feet and going to be an atom or molecule. So no more lives and existence again. So this birth itself, I have to get done with all the karmas that I've bad karmas I've done. So what happens is that this accumulates lot of stress, right? We all have lot of stressors in our life. Say for example, even baby has stressors, even monks have stressors. All of us have to go through stress, go through a lot of wounds to heal ourselves. So this last birth, people have to go through all this in extra amounts because we have accumulated bad karmas, right? We have to get done with that. So in such cases, for people who have their last birth, guru or some other light form will come to guide us, because the journey is going to be hard, right? The years we are going to live is going to be hard. So a guru comes into life and they give us strength to face the bad karmas that we have done and to heal us. How they'll help us? They'll heal us. Heal means giving strength, no, giving support, showing the right guidance, clarity, communication and all that. So this is about healing and why guru is coming into our lives. So I think this is my last birth and I've done some bad karmas and my guru has come to heal me and through me heal others as well. So that's how I see my existence and purpose of this life. Okay, this is about, I think I've covered religion, I've covered how I see God, I covered who is Shirdi Sai Baba, I covered what his ways are, and I talked about healing. Now I'm going to talk about the real miracle that has happened in my life. In 2014, I was an atheist. I was in my dark phase of my life. Nothing was working out personally, professionally, health-wise. I was going insane at the point of time. Literally stressors from all ends of my life. So one friend casually came and told me, Twinkle, why don't you try Shirdi Sai Baba? There is a wish fast. If you read this book called Sri Sai Sat Charitra for a week and you keep a wish fast on a very dearly thing you like, then Baba will give you what you prayed for. I was like, what craziness is that? How can that happen? I was intrigued by that. I didn't believe it, and I don't know who Baba is that time. Baba was that time. It was in my back of my mind, but I didn't want to do it. That is the time there is one photography club I used to be a part of. The club had, online club. The club had very, very expert masters, senior, extremely senior, very professional photographers, cinematographers on board who do mind-blowing photography. They criticize others very badly with harsh, rude comments. And I was the one who don't know photography rules, who don't know any technicality of photography, who didn't own a DSLR, who don't know anything, rules of photography, nothing. I was just simply posting all crap photos with no technical details, with no lights. Nothing I knew. I just was just a, you know, enthusiastic kid who wanted to do some photography and posted and posted all bullshit ones. So that's in that photography club, I was the only one who got a lot of bashing. I was the only woman who posts all the time all ugly photos. Ugly means photos means not my pictures, the clicked pictures of me, like nature, street, black and white, those categories. I never got it right. I never got it perfect. It was all worst of my days. Perhaps that was one of my first 100 clicks. That was super, super bad. I was the messiest person in the whole photography club and the gang. I was the one easily being bullied and trolled all the time. I never cared. I never bothered. For me, even when nobody claps, I clap for myself and I continue to consistently do my work. So I better in my art and I gain perfection over days. That's how I see it. So I don't care about who bullied me or who trolled me. I was continuing to confidently take bad photos and I was posting in the photography club. So that photography club had a contest. It keeps having some other contest. So that contest was happening and Because I was constantly bashed and bullied, I really wanted to prove myself to the people. That is not who I am. I am with talents. I am with multi-talents. I want to prove myself to them. Because at least I should be respected the way I deserve for. So in that case, what happened? I somehow remembered his Baba thing came in my mind, his wish passed. So I wanted to test whether his miracles are true or not. So I thought this would be a very, very apt example to test. So I thought, okay, let me get into this. So literally, I do not own a DSLR. I don't have a tripod or an iPhone or anything. I just had a basic Android Samsung phone. With no expertise in technology or anything, photography rules, anything. I was just a raw kid, baby, like kid. I decided to keep this wish fast. So we have to leave one thing for 1 week from our addiction. So my addiction was listening to music. I'll be on music player and listen to songs. I'm a coffee addict. So I wish fasted for coffee and music. And I read the Sai Sat Charitra. To be honest, I think since then I have read many times now, and I even did a complete podcast on entire Sai Sat Charitra book. I think I've read Sai Sat Charitra book about 10-15 times so far in my life, but that was the first time. Nothing went into my brain, honestly. To me, I should win the photo contest, and how I'm going to win, how the miracle is going to happen, my test. I was just doing the testing. Actually, generally, we are not supposed to test the guru or this kind of things. But somehow I had this audacity to test my own guru. So I read the book. To be honest, first few chapters I wasn't impressed. It was like, okay, it was just flaunting, it was just this thing, that thing. But slowly, after he started reading the book, I discovered that what a great person he was, what a great life he has lived, and those kind of jnan I got. But to be honest, I was bored, I was yawning here and there, I skipped many pages, I was doing a little bit of cheat sheet here and there. Somehow I read the book finally. So this 1 week time, without being listening to music, without drinking coffee and all, totally I was into book, and I think I completed, and I finished the book by surrendering. I went to Sai temple nearby. I think that was the first time I went to a Sai temple. It was good. I was watching everyone singing Sai Sai, that bhajans, and praying deeply. I was just being onlooker. I was watching everything. It was all crazy for me. Why people do all this craziness for one person? I know by reading the book, I came to know he was a great personality, lived in the late 1890s and in the early 1920s. But it was a very good feel, actually. I was in the low point at that time, and after read this book, I found myself a little cheery than I was. I think I had some kind of a change in me. I think there was a kind of a support system. I felt it. I felt like I was not alone. I felt like he is with me. I had this inner happiness that is hard to explain, but I felt it. So coming to that, in this 1 week period of time when I was actually reading the book, there was one very senior in the photography club. He pinged me on his own. He said, Twinkle, I keep reading your posts and photographs. I appreciate your passion and enthusiasm in proving yourself. The intention you have is good, but I think the way you're doing is wrong. Probably if you learn to train on the skill, you'll become exceptional because your creativity is on point. You just have to learn the right tricks to excel in this. I felt very happy, and at the same time I could feel the miracle. Like I could literally feel the miracle, because this moment did not happen before the wish fast. This was happening during the wish fast. A person pinged me all of a sudden, offered help to teach me, train me, and he was an extreme expert that people look up to in the club. So I was like, he volunteered himself to train me, and he appreciated me for my creativity. I was on cloud nine. Okay, somebody is helped there to help me. And then he said, first buy a camera. I was like, I don't know what to buy and all, and he recommended. I said, I can't afford a DSLR camera because it's very, very costly. It's super costly, and I was just in a nascent part of my career. So he said, okay, you don't have to entirely buy a DSLR camera. You can still go to a point and shoot which has DSLR facilities. So he gave me a link of Fujifilm. That was the first camera that I had. So he gave me a point of link to Fujifilm, and he said immediately order it, which gets delivered the next day. So the next day I had a Fujifilm point and shoot which had DSLR capabilities camera on my hand. And then daily he kind of online taught me what is ISO, how to keep temperature, how to click, and he pushed me to click some 100 pics to compose in various angle, in various he taught me what is golden hour, how to handle lights, everything in a crystal clear manner to me. And I was a curious kid, so I picked it up quickly too. I kept shooting, and we have to submit the entries for on a Friday. So I had 1 week time. I was reading Sai book in the meantime. So every day I used to click a lot of photos, and I go to him for correction, and he corrected me. This is the right angle, this is the wrong angle. I think within 1 week I had an experience of clicking about 100 plus 200 plus photos easily, not even 200, more than that. And then I shot the real contest shot. The contest shot was femininity. It was my cup of tea. So I was not posing. I had my friend posed it for me with her butterfly salwar. So basically we shot only the feet with her anklet, with her butterfly salwar, anarkali salwar, in her steps. It came out pretty well. Then I shot multiple angles, multiple frames, and edited a lot, and I reached out to the senior who helped me, and from about 50-60 shots I've taken, he chose only one shot and said, Twinkle, go for it, it'll work out. And then that one shot I edited even further, and I applied for the contest. By the time I finished this wish fast also, I posted. I was waiting for the results. The results were next week. So then I was fingers crossed how it will going to happen, how the miracle happen and all. Next Friday, I was announced as a winner in such a prideful photography club, which has real life cinematographers who had 25 plus years of experience on board. And I was the most bullied and bashed on the club. And it was a stunning transformation. It was a stunning glow up. Everyone around us experienced, and I had literally no clue how it all happened. With no camera, a week before, I got the camera, I got the equipment, I got the tool in hand, I got the people to train me, I got the person to train me, I learned the photography tools, I learned the photography rules, I learned how to handle the lights. Everything happened in a flash second in that 1 week of time, and I won a contest in a prideful photography club, so-called critics raised photography club, that I was the only woman to get that, to reach that level. In fact, that stunned me. This transformation stunned me. And you know, I was such a dumb person, being bullied and fooled, and I was never like this before. In the book it said that Baba gives wisdom to his devotees, and I do 100% believe, and I testify, acknowledge that it is true. In my own case, it is true, because I was a dumb person like that. Within this 1 week of wish fast, I became the wisest person in the photography club. I could able to take an excellent picture and it got awarded. The transformation was unbelievable. It was incredible. I don't know I can blow up that much. It was like a real miracle from my guru. And I started believing Shirdi Sai Baba, but I was not an ardent fan and all. I just started believing like playfully. Oh, it happens, it works, it works. Miracle, it wish fast thing really works. I won that award, so it was giving that ecstasy feeling in me. I was feeling like on cloud nine. That was my first success. I think after 10 years of my downtime and dark times in my life, first I was just tasting the success in my life, tasting how success feels like after 10 years. I felt like a ray of light coming into my dark life. So I was super happy. In general also, after reading the book, it gave me some strength. So that's how I started believing, but not completely believing. Still that point I was not a great devotee and all like today. That was just a entry, Baba's entry in my life, and it was a stunning, bashing entry, superstar entry in my life. I would always be grateful for. And this podcast went up to 30 minutes. I'll continue this podcast in my second episode to this, following to this, because I was in middle of something and people keep calling me, and there are a lot of disturbances around me. So I'll take a break. I'll come back to continue the miracles one after the other that has happened in my life. With this, I complete the first episode of Sai Baba's miracle in my life. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes. Cheers, bye, love, yours, Twinkle. Thank you. Hello everyone, how are you all doing? Are you all doing fantastic? Great. Okay, this is a cool chilly morning in the place where I stay, and I thought it's been a while I did podcast, so this week I should do something. So when I was thinking for a topic, I was just thinking what I am good at, like to speak to listeners, to share my experience with. So when I was thinking, I thought I'm very good in dieting. I'm very good in reducing weight because I have walked the journey. I have done a path towards it. So I thought it will be a good insight because across the world, I know people these days, they're not even feeling jealous or having eyes on others when they have status or money or anything. But people with obesity, when they see slim folks, they definitely feel jealous because of the attention and the looks and the things, that admiration they get. So I thought, having walked the journey, having faced both the worlds, I thought, let me share my insights that could be of help to someone who's looking for tips. Whenever I log into social media or some groups where people post their concerns and all, they always seek, is there any diet tips that they're always seeking for help to, or tips to reduce weight. I think it's a universal global problem these days. And when I was having a chat with my colleague, we were discussing about fat loss and everything, and we were talking about Indian diet compared to Western diet and South Asian diet and all that. So he was telling Indian diet is the best one because we have everything covered and all that, and Western it's a lot of it's different, like that we were discussing. So I thought this podcast should speak about the food that we have on a day-to-day basis and how it affects our overall personality, our body shape, fat gain and all that. So let me say about my journey how I put on and how I put off. Since my childhood, I was always been the skinny, thin girl because we have a genetics running in our family. My mom used to be so thin until her 30s. I've seen her pictures. She used to be so skinny, and I think I've got exactly her genes running in me. So I was also super teeny, super skinny girl in the class. Wherever I worked, wherever I was in school, college, I was always skinny. In fact, skinny people also have worries, okay? It's not like skinny people enjoy their body shape. Even skinny people are body shamed. I walk through the journey, so I understand. Whenever I go to talk in a friendly, funny tone, they'll be always like, what is this? You have to put on weight. There is nothing. You're not healthy. Those kind of things they always bring up. Skinny people, it is always a thing, like people around will try to shame you for being skinny. First of all, to all the listeners across the world, never body shame anyone. Fat shaming is also bad, skinny shaming is also bad. Better not comment on anyone's physical attributes at any cost. We have been gifted this life. We all are here to nurture and love each other. So let's not give a moment of negativity to someone else with respect to their body and body shame. It's not going to be useful to us. Whenever we speak, we always have to think whether it is kind, whether it's valid, whether it's necessary, and then only we have to leave words carefully. So always keep that in mind. Never body shame anyone. So coming to the point, since I have the skinny genetics running in me, I was also skinny shamed all that time, but I never cared at a point of time. And then till my few years when I started working, also I was skinny. After that, I was an on-site at a point of time. That's when I think I started putting on weight. But when I was at on-site, I was normal. But back then, when I came back to India, that is when I think I started putting weight. I didn't realize I was putting on weight, but people around me started telling, but I was looking good, in fact, because I was super skinny, and the little weight that I was getting, it actually added to my figure, and I started looking actually nice. But still people used to call me, "You're thin" and all, but I was not super thin. I was normal, average. Like this it was going, and I had a slim figure always. When it comes to pandemic, I think 2019 is the year that world went into pandemic, and I moved into the new city that time recently. I did not have much friends because I just moved in and pandemic started, and it was lockdown and work from home. I used to, maybe because of pandemic, I don't know, it was stress eating. I was all the time ordering from Zomato, Swiggy, like food delivery apps, and I would like to mention this. There is this, I had a helper who used to cook for me, and even they feed a lot because they love me a lot, so they pamper me a lot. In order to pamper, they give a lot of food, like two people food in one tiffin box that I used to get. And in order to not waste the food, I consume it all. Apart from that, and she went on to a maternity. I think it's a pandemic lockdown baby, because people are busy making babies in pandemic. So I think she went into maternity that time. So I had no choice of eating outside because I did not have kitchen arrangements. And in fact, I am little lazy. I don't know much of cooking, but given my creative talents, I think I should be able to cook well if I pay some attention and interest. But So far, I have not got that interest. Earlier back then, when I was alone at home, when my parents are not in town, so that time I used to cook and it used to be tolerable. Only I can have that food. Whenever I cook for others, they all have always liked it. They all have said that even the way I cut the vegetables, it's of correct size and the food is tasty. So I think I can make a good cook, but I'm lazy. I don't have interest in cooking, so forget it. So because of that, I started eating from hotel. I think I was during the pandemic time, I was eating from hotel. So what happens is, hotels always give food for two people. When you order for one, if you're a single person, you always get to eat two people food in order to avoid going waste to the bin. So like that, I used to eat two people to food all the time, and I always have some fries, French fries, this fry, that fry, Manchurian, what is that? I don't recall the name, but it is made out of potato. It used to be very good in one of the nearby shops. So I used to eat a lot. Every time there will be food delivery guy outside my house delivering some crisp, some snacks, some churmuri, something or the other. I keep on eating, and I didn't realize I was putting on weight, because I have this thing, I was always skinny, right? In my lifetime, I never was fat. I didn't realize I was growing heavy. I didn't realize I was putting on weight at all. Literally, I did not realize that. And because the mirror, I used to see my face and everything, right? I used to think, whenever we take selfies, when we bring phone close to us, it always shows our face little bulgy, little plumpy. So I thought, okay, maybe it's the camera angle. Maybe it's the mirror. It was never my fault, okay? I never realized that I was putting on weight. And the neighbors around me, where I made friends with, they were reluctant to say, because I was new to them, and generally I think they are the not body shaming types. They're very good, nice souls. So never they came to me talked about my body shape. And since my parents have stayed away, and it was always on a video call, and it was always remote and virtual, I've never traveled home at that time, so I didn't get a chance to hear any correct critique from anyone. And my best friend, she always used to speak to me in the phone, in the video call. Even she met me once, but she never told me, because maybe she thought that I'll be hurt, I don't know. So I never came to know I was putting on weight. And even my dresses are big, I have this blessing of I have lots of clothes, okay? My wardrobe is full of clothes. If you ask me, have you earned anything in life, any assets, I would say my clothes is the only asset I make, because I have n number of clothes. And as a Virgo girl, although I have lots of clothes, I finally end up wearing some black tees or black tops like that, and with a pair of jeans. That is my comfort cloth. And but still, I'll have a lot in my wardrobe. I spend literally everything on my clothes itself. That is a time I have this blessing, like even 5 years, 6 years, dresses and tops used to fit me, because I was skinny, right? So it used to always fit, and I never bothered. So when I was doing reels and I was changing my clothes, that is when I realized it's getting heavy, it's getting tight, and I'm not able to fit in. And that time also I thought, maybe it's just a little bit of weight gain. I didn't realize I had put on a lot of weight. And then my mom made a visit finally after pandemic got over. I think March 2022 she made a visit, and that is when she was shocked looking at me. She was like, "Twinkle, what's wrong with you? Are you having any health issues? Are you having any thyroid problems? Did you meet any doctor? Why are you like this?" And I was shaken. I was literally shocked and shaken. I didn't know I was that fat for someone to empathize with me like that. I was like, no, I am good only. She simply body shames me like that. I did not even take her seriously. I thought my parents will always keep saying some nonsense. So I thought she's telling some nonsense like that. She made sense, but I did not actually trust her when she said that. I thought even she was blabbering something. But generally, our parents or mom used to say, right? Even how much ever we have food, they are never enough for them, because they always want the kid to be fed properly, to have full stomach. So it is unusual of my mom to come and say to me that I have put on weight and some health problem is going on. So I thought, okay, maybe she's making some sense. So I went to nearby weighing machine, and there's a clinic. So I went and checked there, and it showed some 65 something, and I was like, what, maybe the machine is wrong. I didn't even realize that I had put on till from, I think I was around 38, and I grew up to 68, like 30 kilos in pandemic time, and it was 68 or something. I didn't believe my eyes. I thought the machine was wrong. I confidently felt it. And then I went to another doctor. She is a homeopathy doctor, and I went for some other reason. And when I went there, I said, my mom is complaining that I'm putting on weight. Shall I check in your weighing machine? And when I checked there, it was the second time I'm checking. And when I checked for the second time, it was even more. It was 69 or something. I freaked out, because all weighing machines in the world can't be wrong, right? That is when I came to a realization, oh my goodness, I have put on weight. It shocked me. I was literally stressed and upset, disappointed, in whatever words you feel it, sober. I had all the sad feelings in the world after I discovered that I have put on weight that I had already put on 1 year ago. So it was 69, and then I was really upset. I thought I should make a plan and reduce it. So first what I did, I came back upset from the clinic after knowing my weight. 1 or 2 days I was speechless. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to regain my slim figure back. First thing first, I started exercising. I went through YouTube videos and everything. I thought which is the easiest one to do, and I had big belly, and even people started asking, are you pregnant, like that much of big belly I had. I had big face fat, and totally it was looking very odd. And first thing first, I started doing exercises, following YouTube videos, mostly crunches. There is one name I forgot, jumping jack, and there is one Chinese exercise where only for belly fat, that you have to cross legged and sit and climb up and down and do that exercise. So I was doing that. Then I was rigorously doing everything, like climbing the stairs up and down like that. How much ever I was doing exercise, I was not reducing. Like literally 1 month, I was totally doing exercise, skipping this thing, that thing, a lot of exercise, about 1.5 hours every day spent on only exercising. And even exercising used to be tiring. And in fact, when I was fat, whenever I mopped the floor, I used to have sweat, and also I'll start like suffocating, like as if I could not do it because of my body weight. When I climbed the stairs, I could not do it because of the body weight. I used to what do you call that? I can't get the English word. You feel like suffocating, right? Without, you can't, breathlessness like that. I literally used to have whenever I climb stairs or mop the floor or do anything heavy. I understood my body and my health is not good because of my obesity. and the exercise were not helping either. I tried for 2 months, I think April, May, and May I attended one function where I met my ex-colleagues and my best friend. When I tried to take photos, that's when I realized I put on so much of weight. It was very awkward, and even my ex-colleagues were shocked because they've always known me skinny and always knew me skinny, and that was one shocking moment for them to see me like that. Very awkward I was, but nobody commented anything, but I could see it from the glance of their eyes that something is wrong with me. And when I asked my bestie, am I looking so fat, she said, no, you are just little chubby, you have chubby cheeks, that's all. She made it feel light for me, but I understood I was not chubby, I was literally like a pig, a fat pig. And after that, I continued my exercises. Every day, although it was not showing improvement, I was doing exercise. I thought somehow the other day I'll go down, but it never happened. I was still the same, despite my three months of tiring efforts. And then one day there was some power disconnection at my home. I traveled to my friend's house, I again took a selfie there with her, and the camera screen could not accommodate my face. It was that big. I was like, oh my god, I'm doing all this exercise for about 3-4 months, but still there is no improvement. I was very sad because my efforts are ending in vain and it's not paying off. By that time I controlled my food habits, like I was not eating much of junk and all. I started being cautious, but I was not into dieting until that point. Then I realized exercise is not helping in my case, and I should do something else more, because whatever I'm doing, it is not helping. So that's when I thought, okay, let me control my mouth. That could be the key to reduce weight. It is about 80% food control and 20% diet. That is the ratio. But people overdo exercising and spend 2 hours, 3 hours in gym and all. I think overdoing of anything is not good. Overeating is not good. Over exercising is not good. Over drinking water is also not good. Overdoing of any activities is not good. This includes addiction, obsession, all of that. So I thought, okay, let me do one thing. Let me maintain my, first I'll control my mouth, let me control my food habits. So that's when I charted out a plan. First of all, I was eating from outside. I was looking for a helper who can cook home food. Hotel food is a real culprit, I found it. So I arranged a maid, and suggested her to give me only 4 chapatis every day with a lot of vegetable, like boiled vegetable, not fried, not deep fried. It is only boiled with a little bit of salt and pepper. I am food allergic. I'm allergic to most foods, most veggies. I'm allergic to sprouts, peanuts. I'm allergic to radish, cauliflower, beans. Like that, I am allergic to a lot of things. I'll soonly develop rashes if I have it. So there are only limited options for me in vegetable area. But still, I gave her a chart. I said, this is what suits me. I want only 4 chapati per day with salads. A lot of veggies, because that's the only nutrient and that's the only vitamin going to my body. And I wanted to have a bowl full of vegetables, only boiled, with little bit of salt and pepper. And the chart included carrot, beetroot, brinjal, lady's finger, what else, and greens means palak, like that. Then what else? So likewise, I gave vegetables chart, and I suggested her make it one on one every day. That time I did have only chapati. So first I think two 2 months I continued doing this, and the timings would be I had a brunch at around, I had brunches at around 10-ish, 10:30, because I wouldn't feel that hungry in the morning. Generally, I'm like that. I'm not that hungry person in mornings. Breakfast I generally skip only, even on normal days. So 10:30 is a fine timing, because I used to have my first coffee at around 7-ish. So 10:30 was little okay. Very rarely I wake up with hunger for breakfast, but generally 10-ish was pretty comfortable. And I skipped lunch because I am having brunch at 10-ish, so lunch is still okay. Without having lunch is still okay. Then at around 3:30, I would definitely feel hungry, a lot hunger. Like you can eat a person like that, you will feel that much hunger at 3:30-ish times. So that is when I'll have little coffee. Generally, it's not recommended because it might create acidity for folks who are empty stomach for a while. But for me, I wouldn't have that much of coffee. It is only 1/3 of a cup. That's how it is. So a little bit of coffee, a little bit of snacks. Even chips, I know dieting people are not recommended to have that, but I'm just sharing my experience how I lost weight. So it's about my journey. In my journey, I found it like little bit of chips I used to have, because I could not give up that habit. I'm a fan of chips, so it is not a lot. When you see in a bowl, just for the taste to appease the taste buds, I used to have 1/3 cup of coffee and 4 potato chips. That used to be my snacks, and that will be filling for some time. And mostly I had cucumber for evening snacks. Cucumber used to appease, and also it's good for health, for cooling agent and all that purpose, and it wouldn't add weight. So mostly it's cucumber, carrot. I used to have it cut, sliced raw at evenings, and some fruits. No, I even quit fruits, actually, because that was one of the mistakes I was doing in the first 2 months while I was regressively exercising, right? I was eating all kind of fruits, thinking that I will reduce weight because I'm eating fruits, but instead I was eating watermelon or whatever, mangoes, all this sugary fruits. Even fruits have fructose, which is a part of glucose and sugar. So I spotted, like, okay, let me go easy on fruits. It's not like I'm telling you to avoid fruits. Fruits are always good. It's healthy. But I was overdoing it, so I was wanting to control that. So I stopped eating fruits too. My only minerals to the body, vitamins to the body, was the veg salad that I was taking along with chapati. And fruits, occasionally I used to have, like, twice a week or thrice a week, I'll have some little fruit, whatever I feel like to having. Jamun, I love jamun, so that was jamun period, so I used to have a lot of jamun. So in that case, I was eating, I was following this pattern, like 10-ish times I had brunch, afternoon nothing, and 3-ish times little coffee, little chips or any snacks, along with cucumber or carrot, so that stomach feels filled. And then I have my dinner at around 7, 6:30, 6:45, 7. There is an Ayurvedic concept that all have to have dinner by sunset, so that the digestion happens properly. When the digestion is fine, sleep pattern will also be fine. So I followed that. I also feel hungry by that time, right? This half third of coffee and 4 chips will not appease the hunger. So by 7 o'clock, I'll be deadly hungry. So that 2 chapati and that 1 bowl full of veg salad would be like a food to the soul. I'll be craving and waiting for that moment to happen every day. So like this was my a food chart. This is what I was doing. This is my secret to reduce my weight also. I have been doing this for about a month, and that is when I really started some change in the body. I slowly realized that I am reducing. After all my efforts of strenuous exercises and a lot of compromises in the food, it's never easy to, for a foodie like me who love to eat food, was always eating food, to have that kind of control abruptly. I think it was my determination that I should get down, because I'm putting on weight, it's affecting my looks, I'm looking awkward, so I wanted to make myself into shape again. That was my determination, and I took it very seriously. Although when I went and said to people that I'm exercising, I'm dieting, to my own mom and parents, they were all listening like as if I'm doing anything at all, because they did not find any difference to their eyes, because for them I was the same. But to me, I knew my dresses were getting little looser. I could find minor differences since July 2022. And I kept on doing this dieting thing very seriously. 2 more months. I think by October 2022, I was around 50. From 68 to 50. Within few months, I reduced a lot. Because I controlled my diet. No fast food. Sorry about that. I keep getting some of the notifications like this and call also whenever I record podcast. But that's how my days are. Really, people do always annoy me like this. Just joking. Leaving that aside. So basically, what I was doing is, from 68 to 50, I got back to control just by controlling my diets. No fast food, no junk, no fried foods, no oil. If you sit and think, I had only 2 chapati. No white in my food. No white means no rice, no salt, no sugar, no sweets, no ghee. Nothing which could add on to weight. It was only the food I was taking is to only survive, not to appease my taste buds. It was a boring period of my life, but I think that boring period only got me back into shape. So I have no regret. I am proud of how I could control my taste bud, how I could have some kind of self-control and controlling the sense of taste buds, which is very difficult to do. Really difficult to do. It's not easy. Even you can do hundreds of exercises also, but one can never control the appetite. I think I did it successfully. I am proud about what I did. It took a lot of sacrifices though. And then after all this, by December I was in 48. And December 2022, I was 48. I got back to shape almost, but still that was not okay, because I was 38. I wanted to go further down, but doctors were I have a doctor friend, she is my age only, and she's a cute bestie. She used to tell, no, for your height this weight is fine, you just stop all your dieting stuff, just remain as is, maintain as is, 48 is still okay. But I was not okay, because I was 38 and I was looking good, and 10 more kilos. So I continued my dieting. However, when I got back into my shape, I knew I'm looking okay. I'm looking fit now, but I wanted to continue, and I wanted to maintain the figure also. What I did was, I did little bit of changes again. I stopped regressive dieting. I stopped regressive exercising. I stopped all the exercises that I used to do. But I used to walk a lot. Walking is my favorite exercise. I think I've already told in many of my other podcasts. Yes, I love walking. I try to avoid taking auto auto or bus for nearby stations, and I always try to walk. But where the city where I stay is not good for walking. It is full of potholes and traffic and pollution and all that. But still, I enjoy walking. And I have got this house where I have vertical space to walk. So during my day, during my night, all the time I'll be walking only. Very barely I used to sit. Only during work times I used to sit. But my work involves a lot of talking on phone. So I prefer to put my headset on and walk and speak. In Bluetooth, I carry my work. So that actually helped. So always there are only limited countable number of times that I sat in my house coach and I took a nap or I lied in my bed. Despite I have a bed or a coach, I always prefer to walk all day along. If I'm not eating or if I'm not doing office work, I'll always walk. Until it's really tiring, my legs are paining, I just stop at that point. Otherwise, I keep on walking to burn my calories. That's the only exercise I continue to do even till today. Even when I'm doing this podcast, I'm still walking and doing. So that's become my habit, and I'm used to it now. So whenever I speak on phone, take work calls, I talk while walk, and even at office work also, within office also, I keep walking from this building to that building to this building, down to up to down. I keep moving. Basically, physical movement is necessary to reduce obesity. When we eat a lot and we're not giving the physical movement to the body, the fat gets stored in the tummy, and that's how we all get bloated belly. So that's what I learned. So I did belly exercise, right? It really resulted good. I got to have flat belly then. But then I noticed there is one science behind it, I'll tell you. So this is how I reduced from my journey from 68 to right now. In June 2022 I was 42. I think now I'm 43 or something. But I made some relaxations. Later on I reduced and back in shape in 2022 December. One thing is I stopped exercising except for walking. Second thing is I started having a scoop of rice because I was missing the rice food. I'm always a rice fan, rice addict. So for me, without rice was the biggest compromise and sacrifice that I've done as a part of dieting plan. I started having a scoop of rice. Scoop means not a lot. It is just a half bowl, half small bowl, you can say, like a child's baby's food. That's how I started taking. I think it's not bad because I've already reduced, and it just to have a taste of rice in everyday's food. So my dieting changed to 4 chapatis per day plus little scoop of rice, that I divide that little scoop into morning and night. I think I started having a little bit of snacks. Like I increased my snacks, like from 4 chips to 8 chips probably. So that was one of the things. And there were cheat days. I should definitely say this. Not every day, every moment I was dieting. In a month, I used to have one biryani day. When I feel really bad, down, some kind of stressful work at office, or something that stresses me that day, to appease my soul, or something really good happened, I'm really really happy, so to celebrate the success or anything. So I'll have cheat days, I have biryani. Some days I really feel bored to having this day-to-day food, so that day I'll order biryani. It doesn't mean non-veg, okay? I'm talking about veg biryani, because I don't eat. And sometimes my helper who used to give food, she used to go out of town. So she goes for about 2-3 days in total. So those 2-3 days, one of those days I order a biryani. So that used to be my cheat food. I don't regret for that, because I think I deserve it. Like my taste buds have to be alive too. Some days I just go very crazy and obsessed. I just go to the bakery and hog a full piece of Black Forest cake when I feel too. But the point here is, You can have all the cheat junk foods. However, we should never overdo it. We should never do it as a routine. Every day cake, every day biryani, that's not good. Once in a while biryani, once in a while cake, it is good. Because salts, we should have fat to our body, we should have sugar to the body, we should have salt to the body. Everything should be in balance. Only if we overdo or when we follow a routine, it's when our cycle gets collapsed. So if you see, earlier in vintage days, farmers, hunters, like our forefathers and ancestors, they had a lot of physical work. Men used to go to farm fields and women used to work a lot at home. There are a lot of physical activity. But these days, they're saying men used to go for wars. Now they're sitting on a keyboard and trolling people. Likewise, these days, both men and women, both gender, have become lazy. We are not at all doing any physical activity. Getting up late, having some pizza burger, or especially in IT style that I see, even we don't get healthy foods also in the food court. If you see, we can only get Englishy foods, Western foods, which is not suitable for Indian body set, body style, So these kind of unhealthy habits without exercising, without any physical movement, and also overeating things. I'm not against meat eating. People are choose to eat whatever they want. Food, I totally firmly believe food freedom is a thing. Anybody should eat whatever they like. That's how it should be. So I'm not talking about meat eating or anything, but the point I'm trying to make here is, when you notice belly, when you notice you have tummy, that means it is not that fat is getting only stored. If you have a bloated belly, that only means that you have inflammation in your stomach, in your intestine, and wherever. So how that inflammation happens is, when we consume foods that is not digestible, even vegetable food also, vegetarian food also get undigestible at times, but mostly it's the meat which has trouble in digesting for elder people, like above 40 years plus. So unlike childhood, anything we eat gets digested, but after crossing a certain age, what happens is that stomach fails to digest it all, so it causes bloating. And what is the thing is, very occasionally, rarely, if we have it, then it gets digested over a period of time. But earlier and all, only Sundays, no middle class and upper class or whichever class, only Sundays they used to have biryani. But now the lifestyle changed. People are having biryani every other day. Every other day they prefer to eat outside or order from outside. And the healthy food is limited. The problem with biryani is that they put a lot of ghee, oil. To consume that kind of fat on a day-to-day basis, it's never good. That's how belly gets bloated, because of the inflammation, because of the indigestible food that we are having. Always try to eat sattvic food. Sattvic food means, I'm not talking vegetarianism, I'm not preaching vegetarianism. My point is, eat foods that is kind to your stomach. So what is kind to your stomach, which is not hurting the stomach, which is easy for digestion? So that is, say for example, greens is easy for digestion, easy vegetables, boiled vegetables is easy for digestion. So choose food that is good for digestion. In that way, your bloatings and inflammation will all get reduced. Most people do fasting. I'm not a fan of, or I've not really tried intermittent fasting or anything, because according to my diet plan, that the journey I walked, I made a point like I don't starve much. I don't feel hunger much, because early 10:30 I had food, then 6 o'clock, 6:30 I had the next food, a big food, and in between I had snacks and coffee. I never kept myself super hungry. I always kept myself eating something or the other. So I don't know to recommend about intermittent fasting, but I've heard that intermittent fasting, to keep yourself fasting for over hours and hours and then have whatever you want. I think that's a lifestyle they follow. I think that also helps. It depends on person to person. For me, it wouldn't work because I crave. I keep thinking of the food, and I lose attention in whatever I work for or whatever I do with. So I don't want to be starving all day. So I wouldn't recommend intermittent fasting. But it's up to you. People prefer over many styles to reduce. It's just one way, and other people find it good. If you find it good, you can follow that. But for me, it wouldn't work because I don't want to be starving whole day. For me, this plan worked. And so what happens is, fasting, as they say, fasting is a bigger concept. Every religion has this fasting period. Say it, Buddhism say it, Hinduism say it, Christianity say it, Islam, any religion in the world, they advocate fasting. Why? If we look at a bigger picture, it is for a reason. It is for revival. Revival means, one thing is, it instills self-control, self-discipline in people, in a way that to control the taste buds is a kind of, you control the senses, right? In the fasting period, it's to control the five senses, seeing, not seeing wrong things, controlling food appetite, controlling sex appetite, controlling the way we see things and everything. All five senses are controlled when you are fasting, which is why every religion is insisting. If you see, in Hinduism also there is a period that they fast. I think in Tamil we say Puratasi, I don't know, Ashada or something in other regional areas. Every religion, Hinduism has it, and Christianity has it during Easter, I believe, so before Easter. Islam obviously have Ramzan, and Buddhism always, they practice sattvic food only. They don't eat much food which harms their body and the nature. So likewise, all these religions do this because they are instilling to control the senses and for this revival journey. So my point is that controlling taste buds, you can counter argue with me, we are all living to live life, and living life of eating is the best way to live life, and what is the use of doing all this? We can continue to eat. Yes, absolutely, 100%, I am with you. We are born to eat. In fact, we are born to live, and living is to eat. We are free to eat until a point you become obese, and it starts affecting your health. It starts affecting when people comment on your body, shame on your looks. It does impact, although people may try to hide it. No, I am not impacted, I am not affected by what people say. No, it does. I walked that journey, so I know. It hurts when you become fat, and when people look at you with that glance of eyes, when you share a seat, when you walk, when you do anything, when you are literally ignored. Like, I was a person who had slim figure with good looks. When I became fat, I started losing gaze of other men, folks. So that's when I realized I was ignored from the society. Why? Because I was obese, I was fat. So back then, now in my shape, and a lot of requests and saying that I'm hot and this, that and all that, I am the same soul. Although when I was fat, I was obese, I had fat face, I was the same person with the same personality, with the same soul, with a good soul, with a pure heart, but nobody cared. Now I reduced, I have slim figure, and I get a lot of requests, lot of love, affection all over the media and everywhere. So that's how it is. When you get yourself into control, that's when you get attention. And we don't lie, okay? We all like to be validated. We all like attention from others. If you say that I don't like to get attention from others, I'm damn sure you would be some kind of saint, because you wouldn't be in Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or anything, because we are all there posting pics only to gain validation, right, from others, on the looks that we have, on the personality that we have. So I am accepting that 100%. I am an attention seeker, I am a validation seeker. So for me, when I got back in shape, I was happy that I could get all that that I lost in the past year back, and I'm very glad that I did this dieting thing. And in this process, I learned that you can get back in shape, you can have a slim figure, all but with this 80-20 rule. 80% in food, 20% in exercising. That's how I have carved it out. And I'm not telling you eat chapati every day or this thing, but I am only telling that try to control the way you eat. Don't overeat. Don't overeat indigestible food. Don't make a practice to eat indigestible food over and over again. When I was talking to my colleague in the start of the podcast, I've mentioned, so he was telling Indian food is the best. I said, yes, it is the best. We have all the spices included in our food serves as an antibiotic. All our food have this tatka, where we put ginger, garlic, ginger, garlic are all antibiotic, right? And turmeric, all this we are adding in our day-to-day food, which is a very good thing. Even hing is good for cough, cold, and even respiratory diseases and all. The food we eat have medicinal values. Kerala, if you see, they cook in coconut oil only. Coconut oil is very good to eat, but science may say otherwise, but that doesn't matter. Science people wanted to favor bigger manufacturers of commercial products, so let's keep that apart. But Indian food is full of herbs, but there is a problem in that. We eat a lot, really lot. Our thalis, there is a lot of food, right? Especially South Indians, if we see, we have three courses. First course with sambar, second course with rasam, third course with curd, and lot of palya. I think both goes for Andhra, Kerala, Andhra, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, all follow the same. And Andhra is even more. They eat kongra and all along with that. When it comes to Kerala, it is different. They have their own fat rice, that is good rice actually, that has less fat, brown rice. During Ona Sadhya and all, they cook a lot, this, that curry, that curry, that curry, that curry. Imagine the lady has to die in the kitchen to cook all that. That is every function, every festival is a headache for the ladies at the home to enjoy. Only the kids and men mostly would enjoy the day, but the lady, the women of the house, would probably die in kitchen cooking all that sahadya food. It's never easy. It's never ending also. They have to start the before day to cook that much of items. So I request all the male listeners, please be supportive of the women at home who is cooking such festival food. Festival is a hell for the women who's at the kitchen. So please try to help her. That's one of the kind request. So my point is, we eat a lot of food. Eating a lot is not advisable. There is a Japanese, I was even telling my colleague the same thing. Japanese lifestyle, food style is the best in the world. And he was like, no, Indians, we are the best. I said, Indians may have herbs in the food. We have antibiotics like ginger, garlic and turmeric and everything in the food. That is all good. But we overeat. We eat a lot. We eat a lot of rice. We eat less proteins. Proteins is mostly in beans, soya beans, in meat. But we overeat, right? Meat also. There are people who eat meat every day in the week. Eat eggs, like 3-4 eggs a day. I know people who do that. That is not healthy. Eating, it should be balanced. you eat egg one day, you eat chickpea one day, you eat greens one day. Like that, it should be balanced. It should never be overeating. That will cause you bloating, that will give you the tummy. So Indian food is good, but overeating is not good. So that's my verdict. And when it comes to Western food, I had lived in EU, in UK. I noticed a pattern of what they eat. Mostly Britishers eat croissant in the morning for breakfast, bread omelette, and light. They don't eat rice much, but some kind of fishes, some kind of chicken salad, something like that. And night again the same thing. So one thing I appreciate in English food is that they won't overeat like us. They eat very less, in less quantities, which is still good, and that is why I think most are not obese. The people who are obese, they eat a lot of burger, donuts. Yeah, they are a fan of donuts. So donuts, kind of heavy things, and morning having burger plus Coke is never good. It's never going to do good, because most fried chicken, fried items along with coke is itself, cola is not healthy, as you know. They have full of sugar, and it's again going to cause diabetes and obesity. So always try to have healthy foods, light foods which your body can digest. So this is about it. And so I was telling, Japanese culture, food style is the best, because you can never see a fat Japanese man. Mostly 90% they'll be slim and sleek, with no obesity. The reason, because it's there in the food. They have only soup most of the time. The soup is made of healthy things like greens, like chicken. They don't overeat. I'm not against non-veg. You can enjoy eating non-veg, but in limited quantities and not overeating. So they do it correctly. They know the balance. They eat chicken soup, or whichever pork soup or whatever. They eat it in minimal quantities, and they eat minimal food. And according to them, according to Ikikai, it says that your stomach should be never filled when you have food. It should be always half full. Like 20% it should be empty, and 80% only you should consume food for a day. For every meal you sit, you should not have the full feeling of you're going to die out of bloating. It should never be like that. You should always have your stomach half empty when you finish your food. That's when you get to digest easily and quickly, and you can prepare yourself for the next meal at the next course. So according to me, Japanese lifestyle is the best, because they keep it minimal, and they have proteins and minerals and everything covered in the soup they consume. Japanese do eat rice, I think sticky rice or something, but they take everything in limited quantities. In India, if you see, our plate will be full of rice only. And even there are restaurants which give over thalis, like thali for four and all, they give it for less amount. You just finish it in one meal like that. We eat even biryani packets that we get from the shops. As I said, single person, if we order, two people biryani used to come for every pack. So that means that you consume twice people food. That means eventually your stomach will resist to digest it. It gets indigestible. If you keep consuming biryani, if you keep consuming indigestible things, what happens is it stays in the body as fat, and that's how you get bloated, that's how you get belly. That it's a kind of inflammation that you don't realize that you have it in your body. And over a period of time, we are what we eat. So when we consume all these toxic things, like it stays toxic in the body, and what it happens is that this toxicity will cause inflammation, and somehow somewhere it ends up in cancer, like diseases. All this we could avoid if we have healthy dieting practice. Healthy means be soft to your stomach. That's the healthy thing. Anything which is digestible, you have it. You have cheat days, you enjoy your cheat days, but always come back to a routine where you can be kind to your stomach. If you're kind to your stomach, it will be kind to you, and it will show up in your figure and structure, and that's how you won't put on. And this is my journey, how I reduced from 68 kgs to now I think I'm in 42. I'm still trying to keep the balance. I'm not trying to reduce, but right now I eat two chapatis and with veggies in the morning, and lime juice I'm taking in the afternoon, or any other juice. And evening I'm having one samosa with along with tea, and sometimes chips, or sometimes fryum, sometimes anything which is there, along with a little bit of little slice of coconut puffy. That's the only junk that I have, and I don't regret, because otherwise I'm not eating any toxic food. This is the only evening times I enjoy, and that too not a lot of quantity. Minimal quantity is what I take, so I think it's healthy too. Nothing happens, so I can continue to take care and maintain the body limit that I have got. And I'm so glad that I get a lot of attention from people, from media, from everywhere, that I'm back in shape. Sometimes when I eat hotel food or overeat, I do have belly even now. But then I know now I got to learn the trick. Now I know the secret of what should I do. So I'll eventually do. If I feel that my belly is bloated a day, then probably I'll do some exercises. And the coming week I try to balance it. For the earlier week, some other cheat days I had, or biryani or something which is indigestible that I've had, the following week I'll try to normalize that by not having any harsh foods, by doing some exercises, from belly exercises like that. And I normalize it. So in that way I'm maintaining it. These are all the key to dieting that I follow. I hope this is of any help to you, and it motivated you to get down. And for all those who think that in any social media group people post what is the exercise that you should do, what is that exercise, how to reduce in 10 days exercise like that, I'll tell you, overdoing is also not good. Overdoing exercise is not good also. Because we keep hearing, right, a person who goes to gym and do rigorous exercise and falls down, and people still say no because they had other bad habits, so that's why it's happening. But according to me, overdoing anything is bad, including exercise. So don't try to be obsessed in reducing weight and obsessed in exercising and all. As I said, food is the first control one should have. If you control your tongue, you can control your entire body, and by which you can control your looks and slim figure and all that. So have healthy food and dieting over a period of time. This kind of getting back in shape and losing weight is not an overnight thing. It wouldn't happen overnight even if we try. It is a continuous process. It's a consistent, persistent efforts, discipline that will only react in reduction. So for me, it took about from March 2022 to September 2023, I think 1.5 years it's taken. So in 1.5 years, you also try to achieve it consistently, repeatedly you try to do these things. Definitely it will result in good, because whatever we are doing is a healthy thing. We are eating healthy, we are controlling our senses, not eating junk, and we are not being harsh to stomach. So all these are healthy ways to reduce if you're seriously looking to reduce your tummy or body weight. I hope this has helped you. I think this is one of my longest podcasts. I have never prepared anything, or I had any script, or I haven't seen any script or speaking. It's just coming out of the flow from my mouth. Whatever I had been through, my experiences I shared. I really, really, truly hope that it helped you. If it helps you, please give me a thumbs up. Please connect with me for any feedback. Thank you so much. Enjoy your dieting. Enjoy your fitness journey. I'm here to help you. With love, yours, Twinkle. Let's meet in other exciting episode next week. Cheers. Bye. Love you.